Good morning. Thank you for being here today, all of you. For those who are new to Taisho, perhaps, it's perfectly okay to change your posture unobtrusively at need. A few years ago, I saw a PBS special entitled The Vatican. It was a televised tour of the Vatican, showing the vast collection of priceless art treasures housed there and the enormous and ongoing effort to preserve and restore them. There were paintings by all the Renaissance masters, sculpture, jewelry, all kinds of art objects. And of course, many of the buildings, including St. Peter's Basilica, are art objects in themselves. The program showed what happened when a visitor, be it a head of state, an industrial tycoon, or a Hollywood actor, comes for an audience with the Pope. They assemble in one of the entry halls, and they are led through room after room, gallery after gallery, filled with these fabulous art treasures. At last they come to the audience chamber itself, and there is the Pope on his throne, resplendent in gold brocade robes, wearing the papal crown and holding the papal scepter. By that time, of course, the visitor, no matter who it might be, is suitably impressed or completely blown away. As I watched that program, I couldn't help but think of another spiritual leader of sorts. This person also received visitors, among them the rich, the famous, the powerful. But this person lived in a small, impoverished, run-down monastery in a medium-sized city in China. He had one bowl and one tattered robe to his name, no other possessions. He slept on a dirt floor next to the ox shed, no pillow. As far as I know, he didn't give long sermons or talks like the one you're about to suffer through here. He didn't write any books. He spoke simply in plain language and few words. And yet the impact his simple, direct teaching has had on the lives and practice of those in the Zen sect is incalculable. I speak, of course, of the ancient Buddha of Zhaozhou, whom we know by his more familiar Japanese name of Joshu. Just a word here about the names. We are in the process of transitioning from the Japanese versions of the names of the Tang Dynasty masters to using the Chinese, and it's a bit awkward. So if I pronounce the same name a few different times during the Taisho, please bear with me. Among all the great masters of the Tang era, Zhaozhou is unique. He defies any description or category. We often think of teachers as having a certain style. Yunmen puts a question and then answers it himself. Lin Ji with his shouts and blows. Zhaozhou has no style, no manner, no method. He makes no effort to be anything. He makes no effort even to be Zhaozhou, any more than a tree makes an effort to be a tree, or a sky to be the sky. Of all the great masters whose words and actions we examine for our edification, Zhaozhou is the least enlightened. It has been said that when Zhaozhou spoke, light came from his lips. I wonder about that. What would Zhaozhou himself say about such a characterization of his Zen? What would he say about it being called Zen or Chan? Zhaozhou doesn't need miraculous manifestations or signs. The business of attributing special or miraculous powers to some spiritual teacher or other is highly suspect. It is said that the Buddha had the 32 marks of the Tathagata, but the Diamond Sutra states that the 32 marks are not the 32 marks. Don't look for some manifestation of divinity that sets one person apart from others. Zen teachers are the ultimate pragmatists. They do whatever is necessary to help people. A teacher is often described as getting down into the weeds and playing with mud balls. That is, he or she goes into the secondary, plays with words and concepts, in hopes the student will see past those words and concepts, see past the pointing finger to the moon itself, to the reality. Somehow, Zhaozhou is able to get down into the weeds without getting down in the weeds. Today we'll look at a koan, case number 52 in the Hekigan Roku, the Blue Cliff Record, Zhaozhou's Stone Bridge. The case reads, a monk said to Zhaozhou, for a long time I have heard of the widely renowned Stone Bridge of Zhaozhou, but now that I have come here, I see just a simple log bridge. Zhaozhou said, you see just the log bridge. You don't see the stone bridge. The monk said, what is the stone bridge? Zhaozhou said, it lets asses cross. It lets horses cross. The verse by Zhui Do, the original compiler of the Blue Cliff Record, he doesn't set up the solitary and dangerous. In that, his path is lofty. Entering the ocean, he must hook a giant tortoise. His contemporary, the elder of Guan, is worth a laugh. Though he knew how to say whistling arrow, his effort was in vain. A monk said to Zhaozhou, for a long time I have heard of the widely renowned stone bridge of Zhaozhou, but now that I have come here, I see just a simple log bridge. This stone bridge in the city of Zhaozhou, from which the master took his name, was considered one of the architectural wonders of ancient China, and the monk here is using the bridge as metaphor. Hey, I've heard a lot about the great Zhaozhou, but all I see is an ordinary old monk. As in most koans, the monk or questioner is anonymous. But we can still infer a bit about this fellow. For one, he is undoubtedly a visitor, not a member of Zhaozhou's monastery. For another, he's combative, trying to get a rise out of the old master. In he walks and calls out his challenge. Well, that's okay. As Yen Wu, the commentator, never tires of pointing out, that is the proper business of patch-robed monks, to ask a question, present their understanding, challenge the teacher, and make their bones by taking on fellow monks and teachers in order to refine their own understanding, sort of a continuous and impromptu shosan. I suspect that Zhaozhou was a favorite target of wandering monks for the same reason that the diamond wall of Long's Peak draws rock climbers from all over the world. Whatever happens in the encounter, you learn something. Zhaozhou himself spent some 30 years traveling about China doing exactly that before he finally settled down to teach. For a long time I've heard of the widely renowned stone bridge of Zhaozhou, but now that I have come here, I see just a simple log bridge. Zhaozhou said, "You see just the log bridge. You don't see the stone bridge." If you can understand, really understand Zhaozhou's answer here, you have come a long way toward understanding Zhaozhou and yourself. None of us here come up to his standard, but at least we can begin to appreciate that which is possible. There are other very similar mondo recorded between other teachers and monks. At least they sound similar. A monk asked Guanji, and Guanji means pouring mountain stream. "I've long heard of Guanji. Now that I've come here, I see only a hemp-soaking pool." Ji said, "You just see the hemp-soaking pool. You don't see the pouring mountain stream." The monk said, "What is the pouring mountain stream?" Ji said, "Swift as a whistling arrow." A monk asked Guanglong. Guanglong means yellow dragon. "I've long heard of Guanglong, but now that I've come here, I see only a red-striped snake." Lung said, "You just see the red-striped snake. You don't see the yellow dragon." The monk said, "What is the yellow dragon?" Lung said, "Slithering along." The monk said, "How is it when he suddenly encounters the dragon-eating Garuda bird?" Lung said, "Difficult to stay alive." The monk said, "If so, then he'll get eaten up by the bird." Lung said, "Thank you for feeding me." Both these exchanges, especially this last, are very clever, very witty, and they have nothing to do with the real matter. But what about Zhaozhou's answer? His words are exactly the same as those of Guanji and Guanglong. Or are they? How does Zhaozhou receive his monk? How do Guanji and Guanglong receive their visitors? Do you see? Do you see how Zhaozhou's answer is as different from those mondo as heaven is from earth? Zhaozhou receives the monk as the earth receives rain, or as the ocean receives the river that flows into it. Practice is not about one-upmanship. It's not about demonstrating some kind of something. Guanji and Guanglong are both indulging in repartee. It's a waste of time. Practice is seeing the truth. No more, no less, and speaking and acting directly out of that truth. No more, no less. There's a story about Zhaozhou. It's told by John Wu in his book, The Golden Age of Zen. It goes like this. On a certain day, a monk who came from the south to visit Zhaozhou related to him the following dialogue between Zhuo Feng, and that's Seppo in Japanese, and a disciple of his. Disciple, can you tell me something about the cold spring of the ancient brook? Zhuo Feng, however hard you gaze into it, you cannot see its bottom. Disciple, what happens to the drinker? Zhuo Feng, he does not drink it with his mouth. At this point, Zhaozhou remarked humorously, since he doesn't drink it with his mouth, I suppose he drinks it with his nose. The visitor said, "What would you say about the cold spring of the ancient brook?" "It tastes bitter," he replied. "What happens to the drinker?" the visitor further asked. "He dies," said Zhao Zhou. When Shui Feng heard of this dialogue, he burst into praise, saying, "The ancient Buddha, the ancient Buddha." Shui Feng's answers aren't bad. The cold spring of the ancient brook, no one can see the bottom. Of course not. Ultimate truth cannot be seen, heard, or touched. It is beyond the world's dust. No eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, or mind. He does not drink it with his mouth. Well, that sounds rather like the man of great strength who does not move his legs when he walks, nor move his lips when he speaks. So there is a kind of precedent for this answer. And of course, that's the problem. It's a kind of stock Zen answer. And Zhao Zhou spots it at once. Since he doesn't drink it with his mouth, I suppose he drinks it with his nose. Well, what about that cold spring? It tastes bitter. This is not a stock answer. Zhao Zhou, among all the masters I know of, acknowledged that there is, if not exactly a dark side, a somber aspect to practice and realization. Anyone who has sat Sesshin knows about this very well. The isolation, the long, lonely struggle, the boredom, the pain. But more than that, even as we gain understanding, as we let go of things, as we let go of the self, there is a sense of loss. The self is mourned. Bitter indeed. Dogen said of his own enlightenment experience, "The moon, the stars, the great wide earth are none other than my own self." Wu Men said of his enlightenment, "Mount Sumeru runs out of the monastery and dances a jig." Zhao Zhou said, "Suddenly, I was alone and in ruins." Not exactly Mount Sumeru dancing. And what of the drinker? He dies. Yep. And Shui Feng can only shake his head in admiration. The ancient Buddha. The ancient Buddha. For a long time I've heard of the widely renowned stone bridge of Zhao Zhou, but now that I have come here, I see just a simple log bridge. You see just the log bridge, you don't see the stone bridge. Zhao Zhou's words go beyond words and silence, because his words and silence are Zhao Zhou, even as his skin and blood and bone are Zhao Zhou. This is right speech, speech that does not pick and choose. Some of the most highly esteemed koans of other masters carry something of this same flavor. Case number 13 in the Wu Men Guan reads in part, "One day, Deshan came towards the dining room from the Zendo carrying his bowls. Shui Feng," that's the same Shui Feng we've been talking about, "who was then a cook in that monastery, called out to him, 'Old master, where are you off to with your bowls when the bell is not rung and the drum has not been struck?' Deshan, without a word, went back at once to his own room. Shui Feng told this occurrence to Yan To, who remarked, 'Great master though he is, Deshan has not yet grasped the last word of Zen.' Hearing of this, Deshan sent his attendant to ask Yan To to come and said to him, 'Do you not approve of me?' Yan To listened and whispered, leaned over and whispered his reply to him. Deschan said nothing. Case number 10 in the Hekigan Roku reads in part, Mujo asked the monk, "Where have you come from?" The monk gave a great "Katz!" shout. Mujo said, "This old monk is shouted down by you." Again the monk shouted. Mujo said, "After 3 or 4 shouts, then what?" If anyone has seen A Book of 5 Rings by the legendary samurai Miyamoto Musashi, there is in it a portrait of Musashi. He's standing upright, his arms at his sides and the 2 swords pointing down at the ground. There is not a trace of aggression in the stance. The position is considered to be completely unassailable. You just see the log bridge. You don't see the stone bridge. The monk was dead, lying in a tomb of his own making, a tomb of his thoughts and his pride and ambition and his preconceived challenge. He didn't know he was dead. He came loaded for bear, ready to pull the tiger's whiskers. But he was a ghost, clinging to his notions of win-lose, enlightenment, ignorance. Zhao Zhou saves the ghost. Zhao Zhou brings him to life. We come to life in our practice, gradually, breath by breath, mu by mu. One by one, we drop off body and mind and all the trappings of thought, assumptions, speculations, desires, dislikes that bury us, our knowing. We come to life with the help of our teachers. Yan Wu writes, "Some people carried a load of Chan, or Zen, to Zhao Zhou's place. But when they got there, they couldn't make use of it at all. He would set them straight all at once, making them free and easy without the slightest concern." How many times have those of us who work on koans or other things gone to Doksan carrying a load of Zen, thinking we have the koan knocked upside down and sideways, sashay into the room, sit down and give this dynamite presentation, only to see Roshi sit there and say very quietly, "No, please continue." As uncomfortable as that is, we are in that moment revived, brought back to life. How is this monk affected by Zhao Zhou's answer? Is it the same monk who engaged in the repartee with Wang Lung? Is it even the same monk who said, "I just see a simple log bridge"? What is the stone bridge of Zhao Zhou? How is he asking this? Is it a comeback at Zhao Zhou? Or something different? Has the monk changed in that moment? I like to think so. Let's give the monk credit. And I think so does Zhao Zhou, for with great kindness, he tells him, "It lets asses cross, it lets horses cross. Lets asses cross, it lets horses cross." Anyone can cross this bridge. Woman, man, young, old, great monks, children, animals. All can cross. The noble and the lowly, gods and angels, devils and demons, those we like and those we dislike. Each one of us can and must cross the bridge. Jesus said, "I am the way." Some take offense at anyone but Jesus being allowed to say such things. But you know what? Each one of us is the way. Each one of us is that bridge, even as we walk upon it. How do we cross? How do we cross this bridge of Zhaozhou? When we sit zazen? When the bell rings, we get up to do kinhin? When we chant, we chant? When we eat, we eat? When we care for children, eat a meal, make a bed, laugh with joy, cry and sorrow? The bridge of Zhaozhou extends everywhere and connects everything. It is the net of Indra that connects an infinite number of gems, and each gem contains all other gems. Shi Do writes, even if you do not see it, you do not see it even as you walk on it. We walk it every moment, whether we know it or not. But without seeing this bridge, without deeply realizing that we are this bridge, we are truly lost, dead and buried. Do we let horses and asses cross? Or do we set up barriers? Barriers of like and dislike, judgments, preconditions, notions about who or what is worthy. Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, who and what is unworthy? Saddam Hussein, al-Zarqawi, George Bush. And for whom are those barriers really an obstacle? Katagiri Roshi writes in his book, Returning to Silence, the Buddhas and ancestors are human beings who realize this truth, that the same and one ground of existence, where all sentient beings coexist in peace and harmony from moment to moment, is profoundly compassionate, accepting all sentient beings without exception. If you realize this truth, you are called Buddha. Pat Hawk summarizes, enlightenment is total acceptance of everything. Shui Do's verse. He doesn't set up the solitary and dangerous. In that, his path is lofty. Entering the ocean, he must hook a giant tortoise. His contemporary, the elder of Guan, is worth a laugh. Though he knew how to say whistling arrow, his effort was in vain. He doesn't set up the solitary and dangerous. Yen Wu comments on that line. Zhou doesn't establish mysteries or marvels and doesn't set up the solitary and dangerous. Others may tower up like 10-mile-high walls, but though they're solitary and dangerous, lofty and steep, this is not as good as not setting up the solitary and dangerous and simply acting ordinary, naturally, turning smoothly. Zhaozhou doesn't establish anything, yet he has established himself. He doesn't make anything high, yet he is high himself. We sometimes hear of a teacher seizing the moment. Zhaozhou doesn't seize the moment. He is the moment. Zhaozhou does not teach. He is a teaching. As are we all, whether we know it or not, whether we want to be or not. What do we teach? We teach that which we are. Whom do we teach? We teach any whom we meet. Sobering thought, isn't it? And of course, they teach us as well. When we interact with others, how do they come away from us? How do we come away from them? How that falls out depends entirely upon our own practice and our own compassion, both for us and for the other. There is no separation. Entering the ocean, he must hook a giant tortoise. No, he does not deal with shrimps or clams or any such small fry. He deals only with the great matter. Yongja says, cut out directly the root of it all. I can't respond to any concern about leaves and branches. Life is short. When you look at it from this end, it's pitifully short. We don't have time to waste. The only matter that really matters is the great matter. The only way is the practice. Do not get sidetracked. Do not get hung up on thoughts, speculations, scenarios, memories, and on and on. But equally dangerous and much more insidious is the trap of practicing as if that great matter, enlightenment or mu, were out there or later on. The great matter is right here, right now. Where could it possibly hide? The elder of Guan is worth a laugh, though he knew how to say, Whistling Arrow, his effort was in vain. Effort is in vain. Guanji's effort, your effort, my effort. When Zhao Zhou asked his teacher, Nan Chuan, should I direct myself toward it, meaning the Tao or the way, Nan Chuan said, if you direct yourself, you betray your own practice. As long as we are efforting in our practice to get somewhere, prove something, become something, we are lost. The effort of Guan Ji and Wang Lung to impress, get one up on, or whatever, is a terrible waste. Does this mean that we do not put effort into our practice? Not at all. But the end result of effort is that it burns out, rather like a forest fire that eventually runs out of fuel and dies of itself. And only when that effort is completely exhausted, burned off, only then can we see clearly that we are already there, that there are no barriers and never were, and that ego effort becomes a waste of time. Zhao Zhou shows us no effort. He is not distracted. He does not waste time. Yan Wu writes, when capacity goes beyond solitary and dangerous, only then do we see profound wonders. Profound wonders indeed. All we can do is shake our heads in admiration along with Xue Feng and say, the ancient Buddha, the ancient Buddha. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddhahood of no attainment.